Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf Tet Vav Amud Aleph, that's 15a, and we are on the fourth wide line, right in the middle of the page. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. Okay, we've been discussing 13 items. I said 12 in the last recording, but it's really 13 items that are forbidden for a mourner to do. So the ones we've discussed already are tisporet, that's hair cutting. A mourner may not cut their hair or trim their beard. Atifat harosh, a mourner is supposed to wrap their head like a Bedouin or a Yishmaelite. All the way to the lip. A mourner is not allowed to wear tefillin on the first day of their mourning. So those are the ones we've done so far. Those are the three that we've done so far. The fourth one we're going to get to right now is she'ilat shalom, that a mourner is not supposed to greet people or be greeted by other people. And in each case, as we described before, we first state the law related to a mourner, and then we bring the parallel cases, which is, can a person who's a menuda, that is an excommunicate, or a person ostracized by the community, do they have the same law? Because in some ways they're parallel to that of a mourner. And a metzora, who is kicked out of the camp for having contracted this illness, tzara'at, also shares some similarities to the practices of mourning. Does this apply to them as well? So we say, avel asur b'shi'ilat shalom. A mourner is forbidden in greeting. D'ka'amar le'rachman al Yechezkel, as the merciful one said to Yechezkel, and we looked at these verses in our previous recording. It's chapter 24 of Yechezkel, beginning in Pasuk Tedvav, the 15th verse, Hashem talks about how he is going to make Yechezkel's wife die in a plague, and Yechezkel is not going to be allowed to mourn. Now this is the one exception. All the mourning practices Yechezkel is not supposed to do, except this one, the way the Gemara interprets it. It says, Heyanek dom, you shall sit silently. So what we understand by sitting silently, or Heyanek means maybe to cry out silently, is that the silence means that when someone usually comes into your house or comes to see you, you say, hello, how are you? And in this case, the mourner is meant to be silent. So many people have pointed out that ordinarily the way in which we use these pasukim in Yechezkel is all the things Yechezkel is not supposed to do are the things that mourners usually do. In this case, the Yechezkel is actually being asked to mourn. So if we view it that way, then you could say this is the exception. And there was one, Yechezkel had to be allowed to have one act of mourning so people would understand that he was a mourner, but then he wasn't doing all the other things to make a point. Or perhaps you could argue, and based on the verses, that this instruction, which is in verse 16, comes before the rest of the instructions. Meaning, first there's an introduction that says, I'm going to tell you that you're not allowed to eulogize or cry for your wife. Hanek dom, you'll sit quietly. And then it says, metim evel lo taseh, all the mourning for the dead you will not do. So hanek dom comes before that general category of the mourning for the dead, and then it explains all the different specific aspects of mourning for the dead, and since Hanik Dom comes first, it's not included in that list. Okay, so in any case, this is true halacha l'maisa, when you encounter a mourner, or when you go to a shiva house, you're not supposed to say, hello, how are you? It adds to the awkwardness, or intentional awkwardness of shiva houses, that you can't do that. There is some discussion in the poskim about what constitutes a greeting. Is it only the kind of greeting that has Hashem's name, like Hashem Imachem or something like that? Does hello or what's up count as a real greeting? Probably not. But the custom is still not to speak to the mourner first, not to be the one who greets, but to wait to be recognized by the mourner himself, and then not to ask after his welfare. Because after all, how good could he be doing? He's mourning his loved one. Menuda mahu b'she'ilat shalom. What about a person who's been ostracized? Can they do greetings? Amar Rav Yosef Tashma, Rav Yosef says, come and listen. Uvishilat shalom sheben adam l'chaviro. Regarding the greetings that are between a man and his friend, ki bnei adam hanezufin lamakom. They should sit like people who are being castigated by Hashem. This is again referring to the Jewish people in a situation of drought or famine where there's no rain and they're davening for rain, and they've been davening for rain for quite some time. They've already had 13 fast days for rain, and Hashem still hasn't brought the rain. So they have to sit there and not greet each other because they are in time out from Hashem. So in this case, we see that a person who is, so to speak, ostracized by God, Hashem is ignoring them, don't greet each other. So perhaps in this case, a person who's been ostracized by the community should not greet others either. Amar le Abaye, Abaye says, this is the second time we've seen this, but not the last time that we'll see it. Dilma menudel Hashemayim shayni techamir. Perhaps being excommunicated by God is different and is more severe. That is, these people are being ignored or ostracized by Hashem. He's not bringing them rain. But here it's just the Beit Din who's ostracizing someone, or the community is. Perhaps it's not as severe and they are allowed to make greetings. Mitzora mahu b'sheilat shalom. What about a mitzora? Can they do greetings? Tashma v'al safam yateh. Now, we just used the same pasuk a minute ago. We said v'asafam yateh would be used for atifat harosh, that a mitzora should cover their head until their lip. Here we interpret it differently. Sheyehu siftotav medubakot zubazu, that their lips should be sealed to one another. Sheyehei kemenude v'cha'avel, that they should be like an ostracized person and like a mourner. The asur b'shilat shalom, and forbidden in greetings. So based on the idea that v'al safam yateh means their lips should be sealed, it means that they wouldn't be able to make greetings. Shma mina, so you could learn from this that a mitzora should not make greetings or be greeted. V'nifshut mina l'menuda. So the Gemara asks, but wait a minute, in that list it said that it mentioned both a mitzora and a menuda. So why don't we learn from here that a menuda is not allowed to greet? We said we weren't sure, but here it seems clear that they should be forbidden to greet. Amar Ravacha bar Pinchas Mishnei Rav Yosef Mikatani Sha'asur Shiyehei Kemenud V'Cha'avel. He says you're reading the Brisa wrong. It's not that it said that it's forbidden to greet people like a person who's been ostracized and like a mourner. Katani B'Milei Acharnita. He's saying you're like a ostracized person and a mourner in other ways. And then in addition to that, v'asur nami, you're also forbidden b'shilat shalom. So shilat shalom is not part of the comparison of the mourner, of these people who are mourning that there's no rain and there's a drought. There is a comparison between them and a person who's been excommunicated from, like they've been excommunicated from God, and like a mitzora who's been cast out of the camp. But that comparison deals with other items. The issue of greeting is a separate item in which they are not the same. And therefore, one could argue that they are not forbidden, or that a menuda is not forbidden from giving greetings or receiving greetings. Okay, our next topic is learning Torah. And now I'm doing this recording just 2 days before Tisha B'Av, and many of these same laws apply on Tisha B'Av as well. For instance, you know, we don't put tefillin on in the morning. We try not to greet each other on Tisha B'Av. We don't learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. We'll see a number of other examples as well. We follow many of these similar customs of mourning. Avel asur b'divrei Torah, a mourner is forbidden to learn Torah, or in words of Torah. Midukam rachmana liyecheskel dom. Now we're going to quote the same verse in Yecheskel that we quoted before, in which we said that the source that a mourner should not greet others was from Hayanik Dom. They should be silent. And here we use the same language to say that a mourner should be silent. In other words, his lips should not be speaking words of Torah. Menudim al-Badivrei Torah. What about a person who's been ostracized? Amar Rav Yosef Tashma. Rav Yosef says, come listen. Menuda shona v'shonen lo. A person who's been ostracized can teach Mishnah and v'shonen lo, and you can teach him Mishnah. Niskar, he can be hired out as a worker, v'niskarin lo, or he can hire out workers, and he can be hired out as a worker. So it seems like a menuda can learn Torah, because it says shona v'shonin lo. However, we now introduce an additional concept, which is muhram. So a nidui is one level of excommunication. We're calling that ostracization, which is a lower level. If a person, it seems like, based on the Kitvei Yad and Rashi, if a person is undergone 3 periods of nidui, which are each 30 days long, so they're already a repeat offender, and it doesn't seem like the ostracization is increasing their behavior, then they get bumped up to a more serious level of excommunication called muhram, They're put under a cherem. And the difference with a cherem is there are more severe rules, and also it does not have an automatic end. The nidui ends after 30 days. That's the term. But a cherem goes on until it is lifted. So a person who is muhram, lo shonev lo shonin lo, he doesn't teach mishnayot, and you don't teach them to him. Lo nisgar v'lo nisgar in lo, he cannot hire workers, and he cannot be hired as a worker. Avol shonev hu la'atzmo, but he can still learn to himself. Shelo yafsik et limudo, some people have it, the gear says, shelo yafsid et limudo, that he won't lose his learning, but or either that he won't interrupt his learning, or that he won't lose his learning. So he's allowed to continue to do some learning. So this seems that even a muhram, even a person who's under a cherem, seems to be able to learn Torah. So it seems like our conclusion is that all excommunicates are allowed in some kind of learning Torah, even the most severe ones. And the Mishnah continues, v'osa lo chanut ktana, however, a person who is muhram can have a small store in order to make some money, bishvil parnasato, to make his living. And Rav says, Zabuni Maya bepikta de Aravot. He can sell water in the plateau of Arivot, Shma Mina. Come and learn from it. Now, it seems like this means that this plateau, this high plateau, is a place where water is really needed, and there really aren't that many people that want to sell it there. So he can find himself a niche in a kind of out of the way place to fill something that is needed for other people. But he can't run just any business that he wants to. In any case, it seems like both a menuda and a muhram in some way can learn Torah. Mitzora mahu b'divrei Torah. What about a mitzora? Tashma, come and learn. We're going to quote a different pasuk. We're quoting a pasuk from the Torah, from Devarim Dalet, which doesn't have to do with a mitzora. But it says, v'hodatam levanecha, you shall make known to your children, v'livnei vanecha, your grandchildren, yom asher amate lifnei Hashem elokecha b'chorev, the day on which you stood before Hashem your God in Chorev, that is the day when you got the Torah. You should describe to your children what it was like. Ma lahalan, just like when we received the Torah, we received it be'ema uveyira uveretet uvezeya, with trembling and awe and fear and sweating, all these different kinds of, you know, it was a very emotional experience and an awe-inspiring and fear-inspiring experience, right? So you're going to explain to them that this is what getting the Torah was like, that it was a very intense experience. Mikan amru, because of this, we say, Hazavin v'amitzorayin u'boalei nidot, people who are zavin, they have a gonorrheic emission, and a mitzora who has this skin disease, u'boalei nidot, and a person who had an intimate relationship with a woman who was in nida, mutar l'kro patora u'benevim u'bektuvim v'lishnot ba'midrash u'v'shas ba'halachot u'v'agadot. They are permitted to read in the Torah and in the prophets and in the writings, v'lishnot ba'midrash, they can learn the Midrashim, and they can learn Shas, which is a funny word to find here. I don't know if it was called Shas all the way back there. It usually would say in Gemara. Bahalachot, they can learn Halacha, Ubagadot, that's the Halachic parts of the Talmud, Ubagadot, the parts that are non-Halachic. So all these people are allowed to learn Torah. In other words, we're saying that a Mitzora is allowed to learn Torah. However, Ubalei Kiryan, but a person who's a Balkari, that is, they had an accidental or on purpose emission of semen, asurin, they are forbidden to learn Torah, Shema Mina, come and learn. Now, all the Rishonim seem to argue here that a Balkari is someone who acts in a frivolous manner. So he's acting the opposite of Ema, V'yira, V'retet, V'zeya, all the ways in which we were trembling and fearful in getting the Torah. This person who's a Balkari, they're not acting that way. On the other hand, all the other people, these Zavin, Mitzorayin, and Boalei Nidot, were not acting in such a frivolous manner. So one might argue that for Zavin and Mitzorayin, it's not totally their fault. This is something that happens to them in their body. They didn't exactly choose it, although it may be related to choices they made. But a Boel Nida doesn't seem to be so different from a Balkari. They're both acting inappropriately sexually. And perhaps one could argue that Boel Nida is an act that's done with another person, and Balkari is done by yourself. And so the assumption is that when you're doing it by yourself, you're only focused on your own pleasure, and that is inherently frivolous. The Rashi in Kitayad says something else. He says that this is not about how you feel when you're doing the act or how you felt before you did the act, but how you feel after the act. So he says, Afal Pisha Mitoch Kalut Rosh Balas Anida, even though he had an intimate relationship with the woman who was Anida, and that was an act of frivolity or not seriousness. La'achar kein libo doeg machmat ha'chet. Afterwards, he is trembling because he made a decision in a moment of passion, and now he understands what a serious sin he did. As opposed to a balkari who can write it off as this is a private experience, no one knows about it, and I can just go on with my life. And for that reason, it leads to frivolousness. In any case, the idea there is, what we learn from that source is that a mitzora is among the people who is considered to be in a serious enough frame of mind to learn Torah, and therefore is not forbidden to learn. Okay, our next case is Avel Asar B'Tichboset. A mourner is forbidden to do laundry. And we have a different source for this, not from Yechezkel. The source here is from Shmuel Bet, and it is related to the story when Avshalom is rebelling against his father, and Yoav sends a messenger to try to get the king to understand what's going on with Avshalom. Vayishlach Yoav to Koah. Yoav sent it to Koah. Vayikach misham isha chachama. He took a certain wise woman there. Vayomerila, and he said to her, Hit ablina. I want you to appear as if you are a mourner. And so, what are you going to do? Vilivshina big de evel. You will wear the clothing of a mourner. Vial tasuchish amen, and don't put oil on yourself. In other words, don't bathe. Vayita ki isha ze yamim rabim, and you'll be like this for many days. Mita belet almeit. You'll be in this case a mourning. So what we derive from this is that she has to wear the clothing of a mourner for many days so that it becomes dirty and worn and sweaty. So we learn from this that a mourner should wear those kinds of clothes. They shouldn't do laundry. Menudinu mitzora'in mahein b'tichboset. What about a person who's been ostracized and a mitzora? Can they do laundry? Tashma, come and learn. Menudinu mitzora'in asurin l'saper l'cha b'shma mina. They are both forbidden both to cut their hair and to do laundry. Shmamina, we don't bring any biblical proofs or any discussions. We just bring a braita that says that is the case. They are both forbidden. Our final case that we'll do today is Avel Chayev Bekriya. A mourner is liable to, is responsible to tear their clothes. It doesn't discuss when, but at a moment of heat, at the moment of emotion, either when you hear about the death or at the moment of burial, you're required to tear your clothes. What's the source for this? The Ka'amar Luhu Rahman Alivne Aaron, because the Merciful One said to the children of Aaron. So this is about the Kohanim. They have a special rule about how they mourn. And he says to them, Lo Tifromu, you shall not tear. That's how we understand the word farum to mean torn, as we saw earlier. Lo Tifromu, don't tear. And since they are being told not to tear, because they're not allowed to mourn, Michlal Kuleyama. This means everybody else is allowed to do it, meaning tearing is an ordinary case of mourning. And I'm only telling the children of Aaron in this special case that they can't tear, which is how we learn that you're supposed to tear, everyone else is. Menuda mahu bekriya, what about a person who's ostracized? Do they have to tear their clothes? Teku, not sure. We don't know. We have to wait for Eliyahu. Mitzora mahu bakriya. What about a mitzora? Tashma, come and learn. Bigadav yufrumim. It's a clear pasuk. It says in Vayikra Yud Gimel, in the Parsha of Mitzora, that their clothes should be torn. Shiyu mukura in shmamina, that they should be torn shmamina. Again, we have two examples of a Mitzora that seem pasuk pshat, they're obvious, clear pasuk. So Rashi in the manuscript says, also asked this question, and he says the reason that the Gemara mentions these is to keep the flow. But he says, Yagdil Torah v'yadir. That doing it in this way and making clear what the pasuk means and how it fits into the structure of all the halachot, so you can make an easy chart. That's all part of being magdil Torah v'yadir, making enhancing Torah and increasing it. We'll stop there on the last line of Tet Vav Amud Aleph and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.